Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is indeed a very auspicious day, to 27 July 2017, Thursday. We are having our class at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasuri's house. It's also the day where this new book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, just came from the printer not long, I think about a few hours back. So you are the first batch to receive this. So on your way back, before you go back, remember, you can collect a copy from here. There are two type of finishes. One is the matte finish. The other one is the gloss, like what we had earlier on. So there are more gloss copies, less of this matte copy. But you are free to choose. Make sure you go through this book, understand this book, because it will help you a great way to understand the cultivation and to make the appropriate preparation for you to continuously have this understanding of the teaching, so that in future, whether you have to come or you choose to come, the understanding will be with you. Then you are at least guaranteed that you will not lose your way. And this is compiled into a book based on four sharing of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way from the year 2015, beginning of 2015 until end of 2016, within the 2 year period. And there are a lot of very important and very useful information within here. It will also introduce to the world how this Bodhisattva Way can be cultivated relatively easily when you understand the way to do it. The way can easily be realized if you understand how to do it. The understanding of it is very important. If you don't understand, it's like an impossible task. It's like it's too immense, beyond the capability of most living beings. But when you understand the cultivation, when you read through this particular book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, based on the direct transcript from the four recorded talks of the four Dhamma classes on the topic Walking the Bodhisattva Way and the taking of his vow as conducted by me, Brother Teo. And the cover also very appropriate. I chose this particular portrait of Kuan Yin because this is the being that is very compassionate, full of love, compassion and wisdom, and her nature is so special, so unique, so fantastic, that most beings who walk this way, they definitely have affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Yeah, you can offer. Yeah, Christina. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can put over here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. For those who just came in, I would like to repeat today. This book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, just arrived a few hours back. So you can collect a copy each before you leave. Then make sure you read through it, understand it, keep it. It is a very, very special book, very unique, very important. It can help humanity to understand this very special cultivation. Then if you have the faith the understanding, the resolve, you will be able to understand, comprehend, and make full use of it. There are two formats, the cover page. One is the matte format, the other one is the glossy format. Depending on your preference, you can get to choose them. Yeah, you are the first batch. Okay, now we will get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, then virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we shall chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang Kanda Sambrayutena Dupinahang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyang Tang Puja Bacana Mutamang Vanna Ganna Gunopetang Etang Kasuma Santatin Pujayami Monindas Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nena Punnenang Matena Chahotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tatayati Vinasabhavang Adivasetu Nobante Aniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patikan Hatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patikan Hatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patikan Hatu Mutamang. Now let us chant the puja aspiration. Based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements which are mine. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami or generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripaja. Padang Pujeme Tamang Pujeme Sanghang Pujeme. Okay, you can be seated. And we can have our meditation. Since everybody has been here before, so you can straight away proceed with your meditation. For those who are still not familiar, you should go back and read up a bit. Because all these are in the recorded talk and also the sharing that we had given to you, the transcript book and all those things. So for those who really know how to meditate, you just proceed. And basically it's just to relax body and mind completely, then silence the mind completely, just maintain awareness. If you have not trained the mind, if your spiritual faculty are still not stable, the thinking will come. But let it come. Don't fight it. Don't suppress it. Don't do anything towards it. Just relax. Completely relax body and mind. And maintain the silence. If you just relax body and mind and maintain the silence, your mind will quiet down by itself. You don't have to do anything. If you want to focus on the breathing, you can. If you want to radiate love and metta using the loving kindness, you can. Or if you want to decondition your healer's thinking by doing the mind supreme method, you can. It's up to you. Then after that, whatever skillful means or meditation object or technique that you are good at, use it to stabilize your mind, calm it down, then relax into every mind state, just silent everything. Then the silent mind will come about. Meditation will just unfold when you don't try to do anything. The true meditation is without the thought process, without any doing by the thought. It just relax, aware, silent. Through that silent, you will understand. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. I will ring the bell after about 25 minutes. somebody else still wants to meditate, yeah, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Turn to page 6. Page 6 of the chanting book, Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantaha chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta. Namo atasa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vichacharana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanayiko Pachyatam veditabho vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 He let's be respect to Pajam. Buddhang Pajami Dhammang Pujami ังฆังปุจเจมิโอเค you can be seated now we shall proceed with the second session second session is meditation reporting followed by whatever question you have okay you just have to raise your hand if you want to report your meditation then we will pass you the mic who has the mic oh okay yeah anybody ah yeah pass to Elsie yeah sister Elsie in the mic yeah
good evening brother Teo
yes
and all the brothers and sisters After last Thursday meditation class,
yes.
I went back.
Yeah.
So for the first time, I managed to break free
from
my
heartbeat
and vibration.
Yeah, the strong energy and the vibration. Yeah, you know how to relax.
Yeah.
Relaxing. The key word is relax.
It's relax.
That's important. The four support for meditation. You look at the back. Up there, the four support for awareness-based meditation. The first support is always relax. You have to relax. You cannot relax, you will have problem. Because human beings' problem is your inability to relax body and mind. When you are not relaxed, means you have problem. Understand? What are your problem? The problem related. To your life, your attachment, your craving, your stress, your concern, your worry, your anxiety, then there is something bothering you. That's why you can't relax. So meditation is to reverse all this stress, reverse all these things that are disturbing your mind state. When your mind state is having this stress or what they call unrelaxed state, means your mind is affected. If your mind is not affected, there will be no stress. Stress come about because the mind is not peaceful. The mind is not relaxed. The mind don't know how to have joy, happiness. The mind is in a state of constant unhappy mood. With fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Then your mind state is always restless. There are many things disturbing you. You have to attend to things. You have to solve your so-called problems of life. It doesn't mean you cannot solve them. You can. But the key thing is not to worry about them. Worrying about them is attachment. When you attach, you grasp, you hold, you panic, you worry. You got this anxiety, stress, sorrow and lamentation. That's why your mind completely develops what they call negative emotion, unhappiness, suffering. So relaxation is key. And relaxation has to be applied to all mind states that arise, no matter what happens. When you feel that there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within your form and mind, you just relax into it. Relax, relax. Tell yourself you want to relax. Means, don't even want to think, don't even want to know, like you are a dead person. A dead person cannot think, cannot do anything. So whatever happens, don't react to it. Allow it to be. That's why I just told you before the starting of the meditation, the real meditation is just relax and silent, don't need to do anything. So that is a very good understanding. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after relax, the next one is what? The next support is what? Aware. Can you all see? Relax. Aware. Aware means don't do anything. Just develop the awareness, just aware, silent. Then after that, the third one is I put 24-hour. 24-hour means you have to develop this awareness until it's very, very stable, continuously aware, if possible, 24-hour, throughout the day. Initially, it's whenever you are not in your unconscious state or sleeping mode. Throughout the day, when you are conscious, you have to have this awareness. And this awareness is an inner awareness. From inside, you're aware of outside. Then sometimes you can be aware of inside movement too. Whatever that is within your own bodily movement, your own mental movement. When you are silent, you can be very clear of in and out. And that is what meditation is all about. So relax away 24 hours until that mind becomes very calm, very peaceful, very still, silent, completely without thought. That is the meditative mind. That is the silent mind. That is the deep. And when you can have that, means you can connect to your nature. So connecting to your true mind or your nature is what we describe as the true meditation. But in Mahayana, it's slightly different. They use the word jian xing. You heard of this word? Jian xing means you have realized your true nature. Zi xing, fen xing, fo xing. That is nature. All these are your true mind, true nature. But jian xing is to realize that true mind. But when you meditate, is to connect to it first. When you connect to it, you stabilize it, then you awaken. When you awaken, you become enlightened. After you become enlightened, you understand what is all this, then your mind will become different. Then you will understand the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching that the Buddha is trying to teach you. All of mental states, sankhara, they are all impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self. So when this understanding is there, your mind quiet down by itself. You will not do anything. You understand they are not real. They are just dependent originating, condition arising state. Mind state, which are not real. That's why they are impermanent. You give meaning, you hold, you cling, you grasp. They bring about suffering. That's why craving, born of self-delusion, which behind is the ignorant, is the cause of suffering. So all this will become very clear. Then when your mind has this understanding, it will be quiet, peaceful, silent most of the time. That's why you will realize that true nature. And Mahayana call it jian xing. It means you have realized that true nature through the awakening. But when you connect, that is really a very important step in meditation. If only you can connect, then only the real meditation begins. Means the internal movement. When it connects, you stabilize, when you awaken, then this understanding will allow you to detect the gateway. Then this gateway will give rise to the fourth support. The fourth support is trust. T-R-U-S-T. Trust means you trust your nature to meditate. The thought is not involved anymore. It's just that nature by itself do the meditation. That's why there is no thought involved. You just relax silent and trust that nature to do. Just relax silent. Stay around the heart area, slightly towards the left, and let it detect the gateway. And because you can be aware, silent, without thought, then if the gateway is there, your silent mind will detect it. Then it will be like a flow. Soothingly, all of your external yin-yang energy that you develop through whatever mental training that you have done will start to flow inside the gateway. Then as it passes through the gateway, it will melt into it and become pure energy. Pure energy. And this is the one that will do the meditation from inside. Because this pure energy, together with the gateway, the nature within, it is the one that has the wisdom, the understanding. That's why it's pure. Then it will activate whatever it needs to activate. This is the internal movement. And people who don't understand, they thought opening chakra is from outside. No, outside, we call it by different name. Those who understand, even my last teacher told me, you use your thought and concentrate or focus on the chakra, whether it's the crown chakra, the heart chakra, or the throat chakra, or even the Tan Tien chakra, or even your sacral and all the seven major chakra. That is not opening. That is interfering, tempering. The most strong word is tempering. You are tempering with your thought. Your thought got yin and yang. You don't have the wisdom and understanding yet. That's why you cannot go and prematurely activate it. Then you release a lot of yin-yang energy which you got no idea what it is. That's why they say you don't have a real teacher. You don't play with all this energy field. Some in Hindu practice, they call it Kundalini. Yeah? I think you heard of it. Some of you might have heard of it. But for us, through the understanding of awareness, it is the true mind, the awareness, that nature, that create the movement. That's why that meditation is without a meditator. Thought is not involved. It's just aware that the nature do. Means you trust that nature to do. Just let it do. And that is the highest. But you don't worry. You can never reach that point until later part in your cultivation. And most of the time, unless you take the Bodhisattva way, if it's just sainthood way, you will not even reach that point of cultivation. So this is just for the benefits of those who have the ability to understand. Then it will benefit them. Because it so happened, this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, is already out. And to understand this teaching, the ultimate cultivation will lead you to the fourth support, which is trust. And with that, you will become very different. You will progress very, very fast. And through that process, very fast, the internal movement will stabilize everything, transform everything. This is the internal movement. We call it the internal opening of not only chakra, the nadis, everything. The nadis are the minor nerve center, the chakra are the main nerve centers. But these are all Hindu terms, so no need to know. The real meditation is you don't have to go until that extent unless you take the Bodhisattva way. And as you move through, the mundane mind will collapse. And your supramundane mind, the pure mind, will arise, emerge, because it's no longer obscure. Then without mundane mind, the true nature, the true awareness, they will shine forth, like you are by itself, just aware like that. Like there is nothing to obscure it anymore, the mundane mind no more. Then that nature just shine forth, and the whole of your being become very different. So this is the real understanding of the true meditation for the higher beings, for those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way, only they do. Okay, I will stop here and let Elsie continue with the sharing. We should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I'll see. Very good. Yeah, continue. Yeah.
That's about all. The keyword is only silent. That's how I
break free. Yeah. Very good.
My mind was so calm.
Yeah,
so
very
quiet.
Calm, very quiet. Very
so
still,
silent.
Silent, yeah. Well, early on, like you report, the energy is very strong, but you are not doing concentration because your nature from the past, you have this energy. Your mind is very strong. Yeah. That's why you don't know how to relax. Then during the meditation, although you already know how to calm yourself down and develop the calmness. Yeah. But that calmness has built up into very strong vibration or energy. That's why your heart keeps on pounding and other things. Unless you know how to relax and just silent, don't try to know. Then it will transform. That's why you will become different. And you use the word, you break free, which is true. If you cannot relax into it, the energy cannot dissipate. It will be there. That's why you reported after so many years, almost 2 years or so, the energy is still there. That vibration is still there. It's because you fail to understand this word of relax. It's just a very simple word, relax, but it's so powerful. If you don't know how to relax, your meditation will not progress. So the key to understanding meditation is knowing how to relax. That's why relaxation is very important. You have to relax both body and mind. Well, this body, if it's not relaxed, there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of tightness, there's a lot of stress, and all this can come about because the mind is not relaxed. The mind got problem, the mind is holding on to things. That's why the Buddha called it attachment, craving, desire, grasping. So all these are the various terminology and words to explain what craving is all about. Your craving is a desire, positive and negative. So positive craving will lead to grasping, clinging, possessiveness, holding on to, wanting things your way. And craving can become a desire, very strong, positive desire. But if it's a negative craving, then it becomes aversion, hatred, dislike, anger. And the other one is envy, jealousy, unhappiness. Why can't you have joy and happiness? If you can't have joy and happiness, you will be miserable. In life, it's like that. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Noble Eightfold Path means you must have right view to arise the right thought. Means you think of very, very wholesome thought, beautiful thought. Think of love. Think of great compassion. Think of rejoicing with whatever that you come into contact with. When people do good, when people are kind to you, gentle, pleasant, and good to you, you should rejoice and you should thank people. Thank you so much. You should have this appreciation for what they have done for you. Be able to have this simple virtue like contentment, appreciation. Appreciation is very important when you can appreciate what the world has given you, what your body has given you, then you will have love towards it. Because from appreciation comes love. Then you can appreciate what the world has given you. What fellow living being has given you or benefited you. Then your thought process become very different because you are no longer selfish. You have this mind to appreciate the way things has come about to give support to you. It's just like my teacher Ajahn Yantra, the Thai monk, he used to say, we should look at nature and learn from nature. Because nature has great loving kindness. Yeah, he used this word. Yeah? Now we start. Yeah? You all can learn. He said nature has great loving kindness. You don't have to believe him. Yeah? He said nature. How come the support at the back drop off? Yeah, drop off one piece. Ah, okay. Yes, drop down. Nature has great loving kindness. Loving kindness. Can you understand this statement? You try to use your own understanding to explain. Why did he say nature has great loving kindness? What has nature given to you and the world? Very good. Nature has great loving kindness because he said nature just give and give. Nature just give. And give. You can be like nature. You can learn from nature. You will become beautiful. What does it give to the world? Yeah? The air we breathe. Huh? So the first one is the air we breathe. We breathe. Come from nature. Free. He never charge you. Then? The sunlight. Then the water you drink. Water you drink. Food. The food. And raw material. Then sometimes when you are under the tree, they provide you the shade. Shade and shelter. Shade is how to spell? With shelter first. Shelter and shade. D E. D. There are a lot more. That's why nature is not selfish. Do you understand? Nature just give and give means nature is not selfish. But human being on the opposite is full of selfishness. When do you give? You seldom give, I tell you. You always get angry, want to scold people, argue with people. That's why if you don't have love, you cannot give. It's only when there is love, then you can give. Because those who have love, they understand whatever you give out to yourself. Yeah. This is the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why in the Maya teaching is also expressed in the same way. But Mandarin words are more powerful. As I remember during the early days, 1986, when I met Master Xuan Hua, he was one of my very first teacher. And my whole family took refuge under him that time, in 1986. And he used to speak the ancient Mandarin. Very difficult to listen. My wife, Chinese school teacher, Chinese educator, also find it difficult to comprehend what he say. But very strange. I, English educator, I'm all Zion. They call Banada. And yet, when I listen, I can understand him because he speak that type of Dhamma language. He said, the law of karma is a yin guo. Zong yin jie guo, he said. Then he said, yiqie yiqie wei xing zao. Everything comes from the mind, created by the mind. So he said, we have to take care of mind. So he said, zong yin jie guo, zong san yin jie san guo, zong er yin jie er guo. Na mo, 施主啊, is it? I don't know how to pronounce the 施主, 千万要小心啊. And you know the advice is what? 千万不要种错因结错果. You understand that or not? Don't go and plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. That's why avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. That's how the advice of the Buddha come about. So that law of karma is very powerful. So without love, the evil roots will flourish in you. Without love, your heart is barren. You know what is barren. Cannot grow anything. Not only infertile, no. Barren. So you need to nurture that mind ground. That's why you have to plant that seed of Bodhi. And that is what the Bodhisattva way is all about. You have to just determine strongly through understanding to plant this seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Singh. It is from this single thought of enlightenment, the seed of Bodhi, to walk this way, the Bodhisattva way, to realize Supreme Buddhahood. We are cultivating the four basic works of a Bodhisattva. You have to determine strongly and vow through understanding to take this vow. And you vow to keep the three pure sets of pure precepts to support your cultivation, to bring forth the way. So this first stage of Bodhi mind development is very simple. You just have to develop the faith, the very strong determination, resolve and aspiration to go this way, to aspire for Bodhisattvahood, to plant that seed of Bodhi and to nurture it beautifully through cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, through cultivating the three sets of pure precepts, which are the extended version of the advice of the Buddha. Then through understanding and taking the four basic vows, which will give you the ability to go this way, to do your work. The first basic vow is just you determine through understanding strongly. You vow to liberate the limitless living beings in this entire universe. That is, You must have love and compassion. Otherwise, you cannot do it. You cannot vow. You cannot cultivate. How can you take living being across? You don't have love and compassion. And of course, finally, wisdom. That's like the second basic vow. Complement the first basic vow. To take across living being, to liberate living being, you yourself must develop the understanding, the wisdom. That's why you yourself, your nature, every life it come, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you must have this ability to endure and severe all suffering, all vexation. If you yourself cannot break free from all this so-called suffering, misery, unhappy state of mind, you cannot endure and severe all of this attachment that brings about suffering. How can you help people? How can you take beings across? But you yourself are trapped in samsara, in the whirlpool of birth and death, the whirlpool of suffering, misery. So this second basic vow, to endure and severe all suffering or vexation that comes with experiencing life, is very, very important. You have to cultivate this until you have the wisdom to endure them all and not to be afflicted by them. Then after that, you may have at least some basic wisdom to liberate yourself, your own form and mind, to develop the enlightenment. But then you need the third basic vow. The third basic vow is to penetrate and realize all Dhamma. Means you have to perfect the perfection of wisdom so that you have the all-knowing understanding to deal with different kind of beings. Because living beings are all very, very different. Yeah. And the law of karma is so complicated, so complex. Unless you have the perfection of wisdom, the extended understanding of all this teaching, unless you have cultivated it and perfected it, there is no way you can do this work. Because when you encounter living being of varied experience and condition, you cannot handle. Like we used to share, we had one Kayaramita, a lot of people who conduct retreat and meditation, even among this get of her, they dare not let her attend. Because her coming is so complicated, so weird. And the way she shriek and she cry, I tell you, nobody dare to take her in. Then she came to our retreat a few years back. That time, I used to later on share with all the other Kayaramita, I say, if you don't have the understanding, you think you can deal with this type of people who come or not, there is no way. Because it's so weird. The karmic thing behind is so different. And yet, for those who already have the understanding, they know how to handle all this. Let's say you must have this extensive understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Then after you finish the third basic vow, your fourth or final basic vow is to cultivate the 10 perfection until Sammasambuddhahood is realized. That is just a follow-up. As you cultivate the first, second, and third basic vow, you are already cultivating most of the perfection. Otherwise, you cannot finish the third. For the second basic vow, when you finish that cultivation, you would have perfected renunciation. Because renunciation is relinquishment. When you can renounce everything that causes attachment, leading to craving, attachment, grasping, clinging, that is the cause of suffering. It will need that very powerful perfection of renunciation to severe all suffering, to endure all suffering and vexation. So when you can do that, means you have the power to renounce everything that you can come to experience in this conditioned world. That's why the phenomenal world will lose its ability to delude you and deceive you. That's why you not only can renounce the world, you can renounce all of your attachment to the phenomenal world, to your own form and mind, to everything that you come to perceive, or come into contact with. Then you have perfected love and compassion. Then your dana parami would have been extensive because of the three basic vow. You not only vow to do good, but to refine upon them and perfect all the virtue. So dana, sila, you will keep your precept because you follow the advice of the Buddha. Then you will have a lot of patience, kanti. Then you can renounce. You will have a lot of patience. And the patience come because you have understanding, wisdom, love. Then the third basic vow is perfection of wisdom. You would have that wisdom. That's why finally you will have the perfection of the final 10 perfection, which is equanimity, upeka. Then truth also will be perfected. Because you know it's never worthwhile to lie. So all this, you will come to understand. So the 10 perfection is just a continuation from your cultivation. Then the thing that you can rely on to help you is the 10 perfections virtue, especially adhittana, aspiration. You will be an expert in it, making of vow, aspiration, determination, affirmation. You can use the power of truth for making of this affirmation, or power of merits, wholesomeness and all those things. Then apart from affirmation, you can also make use of what I have shared in this book, which most people don't know how to do. Create affinity with great beings, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattva, because of their great nature, their vows, their perfection. You can create affinity with them and request their blessing, protection and guidance. Their vows, their virtue will take you along. It has become part of nature's law. It will manifest when you have the affinity, when you have the faith in their nature. That's why Kuan Yin Bodhisattva is one of the very unique beings. And there are many others. Even Manjushri Bodhisattva, Pusian, or Samantarabhara Bodhisattva. Then you have the Earth Star Bodhisattva. Then we have Amitabha Buddha. We also have Medicine Buddha, Yao Sifo. Then of course, our Sakyamuni Buddha asks you to develop affinity with all Buddhas and all the enlightened beings. That's why he said, take refuge in the Triple Gem. What are the Triple Gem? The Buddha represents all Buddha of the three periods of time. Not only past and present, including the future. Because these are the rhyme of the Buddhas. Then the Dhamma is take refuge with all truth. Dhamma. Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That's why all this understanding will be there. Then the Sangha is the Aryan disciple, the enlightened disciple of all Buddhas. So if you take refuge in all this, means you create affinity with the Triple Gem, which is all of the great beings in this whole universe. But what is important is specific great being that you have come to know and develop the faith, the affinity, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And some, maybe you have great affinity with Pusian, then Manjushri Bodhisattva, or even a star Bodhisattva. So all these four great beings, even Maitreya Buddha, you have the affinity. Yeah, they are beautiful beings. So we are indeed, like I said, very fortunate. Excuse me, I need a drink. We are born into this world, our planet Earth, where there is this sasana, the Buddha sasana of Sakyamuni, and we are just somewhere in the middle or slightly more, 2600 over years after his parinibbana. Going forward, there could be another 1900 years left if this sasana is supposed to be 5,000 years minus the bhikkhuni order, another 500 years shorter. So total 4,005. Then you are somehow born as a human being, which is very rare indeed. And you have the condition to encounter the true Buddha Dhamma. This is even more rare. So given all this condition, you must have your path. Otherwise, you cannot have this condition. But your form and mind, unless you are a cultivator, you cannot understand. That's why don't use your thought to try to understand. You cannot comprehend. You just cultivate. After you awaken, connect back, you will start to develop the understanding. Then your joy, your gratitude, your respect, your spiritual faculty, your faith become very different. And this is the one that can pave the way for awakening, for the understanding to go this way, the Bodhisattva way, so that you can be a real blessing to all of humanity and mankind, so that this beautiful teaching can be developed. Okay? So this part is very important, very useful. So remember to pay attention and read through this book. This book is a follow-up from the Heart Sutta. After the Heart Sutta, you should read this book. Because this book will teach you how to cultivate. Then later on, you will have the ability to understand many, many things. That's why we also went through the Diamond Sutta earlier on. Then we also covered the Surangama Sutta. The Heart Sutta was covered a few times, Tuesday class. Then earlier on the other batch, the first batch. Then we also covered it in the Sunday class, Wu Ping Qing Se. That's how the book, the Heart Sutta short notes, came about. So all this come about because of condition. Meant to be, will be. This teaching has to come out. This understanding has to come out. So all this are the way nature has arisen, the condition for it to happen. So what I want to let you understand is this is a very unique period, the sasana. That's why the Mahayana give a lot of emphasis to this understanding. And the way they say in the Mahayana teaching is very good. I don't know why, maybe Mandarin is a better language to express all this. They always say, 人生难得，佛法难闻. That is very important. To be born as a human being is very rare, even in the Theravada teaching. The Sakyamuni Buddha has explained. It's just like your chances to be born a human being is so rare. You say like a turtle, a blind turtle, who lives very long in the ocean. Then there's a turtle egg. with the opening slightly bigger than the turtle's head. Then every 100 years, the turtle is allowed to surface the ocean, and the probability of that turtle's head exactly protruding into that turtle egg's opening, that is your chance of being born as a human being. You just imagine, the ocean is so wide, and every 100 years you surface, do you think you can hit that turtle egg? To touch it also very difficult, but the head must go in, the perforation. It's very rare, rare indeed. That's why the Mahayana Sutta say, Zensen means the human form, human birth, Nanpa, very difficult to have this human form. Then the Dhamma is even more rare, more difficult to come into contact with. That's why Fofa Nanwen. Why? Because the Buddha Sasana is so short, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 years, like this Sakyamuni one. But the span between Buddhas, Samasambuddha, you know what is the duration? We calculated that day, our new world system, so far we have 4 Samasambuddha, where we already at least 10 billion years old. Even 10 billion you divide by 4 is 2.5 billion years now. 2.5 billion years, you divide by 5,000. That 5,000 is so insignificant, do you know? Do you understand? And most of the time, 2.4 billion years, where are you? You cannot find the sasana. That's why he say it's very rare. 人生难得，佛法难闻. Then the saying also say, 人生难得，今已得. Means, even though it's so rare to be a human being, you already born as a human being. 佛法难闻，今已闻. This Buddha Dharma, the sasana, is so difficult to encounter, and yet you have encountered them. Then what are you doing? You are still wasting your precious window to really, really comprehend this teaching and free and liberate your mind. The choice is up to you. Nobody can force you. Because this is nothing to do with the great beings. The great beings just do their work. They come, there is condition, they share. After that, finish. Whether you understand, you don't understand, is not important. Because it's your life. If you are not serious about life, nobody can help you. If you choose to be miserable, nobody can help you. Understand? So, everything demands the right effort, the commitment, the faith. If you believe you can, you can. Nobody can stop you. You have already come so far. But you yourself, through your own inferiority complex, block yourself. Where you don't have the faith. Your thought tell you a lot of funny things. You remember Jack Ma? Huh? What is his Mandarin name? Ma Ying Chu. No, no, that one is Taiwan. Sorry. Ma what? Ma Yun. You think he was born smart? You know how miserable he was. He said he applied to Harvard 10 times or rejected. He applied all the job, he got rejected. Then KFC call in 25 to interview. 24 got the job. He was the only one without the job. But he become Jack Ma. He founded Alibaba, richest man in China. So, you are not born on a silver plate. You have to work towards it. Because he has faith in himself. He believes in himself. He said, nobody believe me, never mind. I believe in myself. I believe I can do it. Where he has failed miserably, and yet he stand up. And he knew, in this society of ours, in this world of ours, you need English. And he was just a school teacher in China at that time. He doesn't know much English. So you know what he did? He volunteered to be a tourist guide. He just wanted to learn English from the tourists. Free. He take them around. He just want them to talk to him in English. And that's how he learned. We all are now so lucky. We got English language course. We got this English taught in the school. And we are inheriting from the British colonial government. England, they are the best in English. Because they are the original founder of that language. So you are so blessed. You have so much thing more than Jack Ma. Why are you looking down upon yourself? Understand? You have great potential, but you refuse to have that understanding because you always believe the thought. Understand? Yeah. You understand what I say or not? Yeah. I hope you really understand. There are a lot of people complain, Asana. Oh. Sometimes they complain. I work so hard. My boss never appreciate me. Then you know what happened? Jack Ma say, luckily they didn't hire him. If they had hired him, he will not be what he is, Asana. He will end up KFC maybe manager there. He will not become Alibaba. Boss, mind. So sometimes you have to perceive it with wholesomeness. Because they don't understand you. But you must show your talent. You must be committed. You must have the will to be successful. That's why the four bases of success, the Buddha talk about it. The Klang talk, go and listen to the Klang talk. The four bases of success. The first one is very important. First one is your love, your passion for that particular area or field that you want to be successful in. That one in Pali is called Chanda. Chanda. So Chanda, the four bases of success, I think today I will share it again because there are some who are new. Four bases. Oh, success. The Buddha say you want to be successful in life, you must have all this. Yeah? The four bases of success. Oh, the four means of accomplishment. So the four bases of success are four means of accomplishment. Yeah. If you want to be successful in anything or accomplish anything, you must have this form. So the first one is, the Buddha say, you must have Chanda. Chanda is your love or passion or interest. In the thing you want to be successful in. So you must have this love, or what they call passion. Like you want to be good in study. You must love study. You must have a passion to study. You must have that interest, the deep interest. Yeah. So this is just like very strong intensity to be successful. That's why that passion will drive you to cultivate. So the second basis of success is that after you have Chanda, you have to have this Virya. This one is your spiritual zeal is for spiritual training. This one is your zeal, your tenacity. That is a very strong energy and tenacity to be successful. Where you see the importance of this thing. When you can be successful in your study, in your career, or in anything that you want to do, maybe the world champion as a sportsman, or chess, or badminton, or any career, even in gymnastic and all those things. So when you have that very strong passion to drive you to cultivate this spirit, this zeal or tenacity, which is a type of energy inside you, will actually move you. Yeah. Then the third one is, you must believe that you can do it. This is the mind, citta. Citta. So this is willpower. Using your will. You will it strongly. You want to be successful. Then you keep on working on it. Yeah. You keep on doing research. Check with people who are very successful, very good at it. Yeah. Of course, the last one is vimamsa. Vimamsa. This one is, they call it investigation. Investigation. Yeah. You investigate or analyze. Yeah. So whatever you try, let's say investment, you try. People tell you this, you go and find out, you go and study it, like charting or fundamental analysis, you go and study it. Then you apply it in real life. Then you find out, you investigate whether this one works or not. If it doesn't work, why? Because of you or because you don't understand this thing? Then you follow up with analysis. It's just like they say, for those who are in the property market, I think you know, they call it SWOT analysis. You know why SWOT? S-W-O-T? How many of you don't know? Huh? Everybody know? Or you don't know? S-W-O-T. They call it SWOT analysis. S? W, O, T. S stand for what? Strength. What are your strengths? You must know your own strength. You analyze yourself. What are your strengths? Yeah? Then, weakness. What are your weakness? If that department, weakness, if you are weak in that field or department, you avoid job that has that type of problem. That's why contractor will check what are their resources. If they have weakness in certain thing, they will not take project that has this weakness. Then the other one is, what are your opportunity? O is opportunity. Opportunity. When you see opportunity, that is where your strong point is, yeah, the great potential. Then there is opportunity, because like when there is a crisis, you feel that you can do very well in crisis, because you have been waiting for the crisis to come, so that you can make it. So those who understand, keep cash. Just like they say, cash is king. The same property that used to sell very high, now sell very low. But without cash, this opportunity doesn't exist. So during crisis, not only property is low, everything is cheap. The stock will fall. Banking stock, the blue chip, everything will fall. There is opportunity. But do you have the means to make use of the opportunity? Yeah. So sometimes in terms of business, like construction, opportunity means near your job site. Then your whatever machinery, everything, you got your stockyard also. Then you got your quarry. So all these are in strategic location where it can help you to be more competitive. So these are your opportunities. Then when you have a lot of cash, these are your opportunity. Yeah. Threat. The last one is threat. Threat means what? The thing that threaten your business, your success and your failure. What are your threats? So you can identify all this. So for the contractor, the main threat is what? What is the main threat? Huh? Raw material go out, isn't it? Shoot out, isn't it? So you have to hedge. You have to hedge. Then the other threat is your competitor, who know you very well. If they are competing with you, you will have problem. Then the other threat is if you tender too low, you miscalculate your tender, you will also have big problem. But if your strength is, let's say, you are infrastructure contractor like last time the company I worked with, Metro Giant. They got a lot of experience in earthwork, machineries and all this thing. Then they got a very strong in-house, what they call purchasing department. And also they call it the admin side, even their accounting side and all things. They are very strong. So they have this special software, we call it the IFCA software, that can track all construction projects. If you are experienced, like last time when I was there, I can track. I don't have to go to the site. I won't know what is going on, whether go hanky panky or not. Just from the IFCA, because it integrates all the bills, expenses, the job related, it can isolate for you. Then it can sort out for you how much raw material being used, how much of those machinery time and all things. The moment you tally against the BQ, the payment, cannot run if the project manager or the project director try to play buck. Straight away you will get hold of them. You can nab them and all those things. So all this has developed. So what they call, well, until it has become so advanced. That's why now the project management has become a lot more simpler. Then we have what they call ISO, International Standard Organization. ISO is a self-improving model. So this fourth vimamsa is making use of all these tools to improve yourself. The SWOT analysis, the ISO standard. So that in future you don't need very experienced people. You can hire new graduate and train them through the ISO, International Standard Organization. Where all your work process, everything, your what they call mission statement or whatever, then how you do things, your flow chart and all those things. Everything is clearly documented, spelled out and systematically laid down. So it's like a blueprint. And it's so easy to run a project because all the records are there, previous project, or how you write letter, how you answer the letter, how you claim and all that thing. And it is self-improving. That's why you can make yourself very beautiful. So this is what can bring about success in life. I know some of you, you fail in life miserably. So some, they may not be happy because they are weak in certain things, understand? But you look at Jack Ma, he is worse than all of you. He can't even get a job. At least most of you can get a job, understand? Then after you get a job, whether you last how long, depend on you, understand? If you have this fall, you will be very successful in life. You will do very well. And you can develop some understanding from Rich Dad and Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki's book. don't work for people. Work for yourself. Self-employed. But you don't have that means, then no choice. Then get money to work for you. You cannot get money to work for you. According to Warren Buffett, you cannot make money while you are sleeping. What do you say? If you cannot make money while you are sleeping, huh? You haven't heard of this statement that he made. Chances are you cannot be financially successful. Understand? Because if you have to work for every dollar, how much hard work can you do? 1 day, 8 hours. 1 job you cannot really. Sometimes you moonshine, do part time. I tell you, you will drain yourself out. But you can make money while you are sleeping, means your money working for you, your investment working for you. Then you will be successful. You don't have to worry about money. So these are the various models that the modern world has to investigate, to analyze, to help you to improve yourself. This is what self-improvement is all about. So all this analysis and investigation will lead to self-improvement. So this one lead to self-improvement. Then you will become good at it. Self-proficiency. Yeah. That's how you become successful. So when you have this, you will be successful in whatever you want in life. Of course, this one is still short of something. The Dhamma. But when they have this, they will finally come to realize that ultimately, to be complete in understanding, you need to have the Dhamma understanding. Dhamma means you must understand the law of karma, law of the mind, and the law of truth. These are the three spiritual laws that will complement this. That's how from this you will discover the five spiritual faculties for you to understand spiritual teaching. Then you perfect yourself. Otherwise, you can make mistake. If let's say you have this very strong passion or love to be successful in something, then you have a lot of zeal or tenacity, the drive to go this way, to become successful. Then you will it to happen. But if you don't know the Dhamma means what? You can do it through evil means, with greed, with selfishness, with delusion. Then karma hit back, you will get into trouble. Then if you don't believe in having charity, dana parami, wealth will not come to you. So somehow you will make mistake. Even your investigation analysis, you will do all the wrong one. Then you still make mistake. That's why a lot of people, they come to realize their life. There's a lot of up and down. I have met many people. Even among Kayamata, there was one person who during the boom time make a lot of money, millions. Then that recession, 97, 98, he completely wiped off until he owed the bank a lot. So finally he came to my class. He was listening from the back. Then he asked me a lot of questions. Then after that he understand the missing link is the law of karma. He has not been following that. He believed in all the feng shui thing. All the what they call medium and all those things. The fortune teller. You go and do all this. Is it worse, is it? None of them work. He become more miserable. And he completely failed, bankrupt. Then owing the bank a lot. So finally when he understood this teaching, he start from scratch. Then he cultivate. he have faith, he develop. Then you know what happened. Within a few years, 2-3 years, he not only recover and become stronger, beautiful, he start to devote his time on Dhamma. Then somehow, he told me, the 30-40 million of debt that he owed the bank was cleared. Somehow it was cleared. Then he came back. See? You must have faith. You must have that. Like Jack Ma, never say no. Never be deterred by failure. Jack Ma is the worst, isn't it? Job also cannot get. At least most people can get job first, isn't it? Maybe not so good a job. But because Jack Ma didn't get any job, that's why it spurred him to cultivate. He become more strong in his willpower to be successful. That's why he go all out and improve himself. Self-improvement. And now he has such great understanding. He is a blessing to the world. Now his business consideration is so different. Whatever that the company come out with, he say, whatever software or what, he say the criteria is not to make money. It's just to make money, profit oriented, he say, he don't want. His first criteria, he say, it must benefit the world and humanity. Then we look at it. Where he believe in karma. If you can benefit the world, you will do very well. Just like his Alibaba.com, the company that he found. Because he proved to the world that we can do business with mutual benefit. If mine, this software, can help improve your sales to record level and improve the trustworthiness of our goods, our delivery system, everything. That's why they got all the logistic, everything tied to it. And people trust Alibaba because if there is any complaint, they got this, don't know what they call, grace period. 10 or 14 days grace period. If there is any complaint within the period, they will not pay to the vendor who sell that thing online through this Alibaba.com. Or Alipay. That's why this supplier or the vendor who sell all this product, they have to make sure their product is good. Otherwise, any complaint, they don't get money. Then, if you got more than, don't know, 3 complaints, they take you out of the system. You cannot become part of their chain. You got so much to lose. No? You dare to do all this funny thing, cheat people, deceive people. Just like Uber is self-regulating. So the system that benefits everybody will regulate itself. That's why they play God. They set up the nature's law to govern all this business ethic and other things. That's why we have this benefit from people like Jack Ma. His thinking is very different. And he is very far-sighted. He can tell you a lot of things. Machine is going to take over. IT is going to take over. Artificial intelligence is going to take over. A lot of people will be out of job. But there will be other jobs. That's why you must move with society, with the innovation, with the progress. All this is part and parcel of Dhamma understanding life. That's why the Buddha said the only absolute universal characteristic is change, impermanent. Everything is in a state of flux. You cannot stay on and be left behind. You have to constantly improve yourself, fit into society. Otherwise, you not only become obsolete, you actually end up, cannot survive. So, this is what you need to develop through the Dhamma understanding. You have great potential. Have faith in yourself. Trust yourself. Then, motivate yourself. then strive on with heedfulness, you will be successful. For worldly thing, start with the four bases of success, then go into Dhamma. That's like the 37 factors of enlightenment, they are all linked and they are all connected. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You got any question or not regarding this today's topic? Today's topic is more general, because of condition. Yeah. That's like Dhamma is not what you think. Not everything is Four Noble Truths. It's not like that. It's life itself. When you have Dhamma, you will understand life. And you will know how to make use of all this to live life. That's why you can be very successful if you want to. Just now, actually, I didn't finish the first part. Nature has great loving kindness. Nature just give and give and give. So what else can you learn from nature? Not only great loving kindness. Nature is also very patient. You know how nature is very patient. My teacher, again, Ajayantra, taught me this. He said, human being is a terrible species. He said. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. Correct? Got money also complain. No money also complain. Got food to eat also complain. Because they don't have gratitude. They don't have contentment. They don't have understanding. They don't have patience. He said nature is full of loving kindness, full of patience. Patience means what? They don't argue. They don't fight nature. You look at the four seasons of nature. What are they? When the weather, when condition is very harsh, what do? They shed their leaf in autumn, isn't it? Then they hibernate through winter. Then what happened? They bud again in spring. Then boom, bloom in summer. That's why you go to Tokyo. What do you see? Cherry blossom. Fly all the way there, see cherry blossom. Now, on internet, on TV, on WhatsApp, you can see more beautiful ones. But you say, no, but they're different lah. You go there, you physically there, But if you have mindfulness, yes, different. But if you don't have Dhamma, don't have mindfulness, not able to experience life to the fullest, be with the moment, and really experience it, you just have thought that hold on to that memory. You are not really there. You are very excited when you are there. But you are not there to experience, to feel, and to appreciate life, the joy, the contentment. That's why our world is so beautiful. Do you know that? There is so much thing to life. You can have so much joy in life if you have the means to travel the world. To see the moon, to have the good food, the good holiday. You can go for a cruise. You can go for a lot of very beautiful sightseeing. There is a TV show that last time showed, Ticket to Indulgence. How many of you saw the show? Well, I loved that show last time. It showed you all the great things that you can have if you had the means. Even if you don't have the means, you watch it on TV, you are so blessed. The world has progressed until such possibility. But you know what human beings do or not? Cry over small things, argue here, argue there, become miserable, worry about it, worry about that. As if life is just those few things. Playing the game of suffering, misery, every day getting angry. Becoming miserable. Why my girlfriend, my boyfriend like that? Why my boss like that? Why my children like that? Why I got so much problem? Because your mind is deluded. So negative. Don't have love. Don't have Dhamma. Don't have Noble Eightfold Path. Every time get angry, emotional, fearful, unhappy, develop all the envy, the jealousy, the hatred, backbiting. That's why you become miserable. That fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind. They're every day creating like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, sensual desire, evil. All these are mental hindrance. Then got a lot of doubt. Human suffering is inflicted upon themselves through ignorance, delusion, nothing else. If you don't have ignorance, don't have delusion, there is no suffering. You can have the understanding to live life. When you understand life, life becomes beautiful. Then you can live life. Live life to the fullest. Then life becomes meaningful. Yeah. That is what life is all about. You are here to live, truly live, to develop the causes and conditions for you to have the good life, the joy, the happiness, the peacefulness, the clarity, the contentment, the love. Then all this understanding will liberate the mind, free the mind, and give rise to such beautiful consciousness that can enable you to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then life takes a turn. Life becomes so meaningful, so beautiful, so full of meaning and joy. Then you look at the world so differently. Then everything is so meaningful, so beautiful, so pristine. There is no more negativity. There is nothing in this universe or this world that can make you unhappy or miserable or maybe afflicted. No way. So this is what the teaching is all about. It has this ability not only to heal you, it can bring about great transformation in you until you become so different, so beautiful. You can use it to change your life destiny. You are not born a loser. You are not born to become like that, miserable. You are what you are, like the Buddha said. Born of your karma, heavy your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So if you know that, you can change and break all those things. Your karma is about the past. Past already gone from now. If I want to reverse all this, I have to do the few things that I must do. I need to ask for forgiveness. I ask. I need to go for repentance. I go. Then I need to vow not to do all this again. I determine to vow. Then from this moment onward, I vow to understand this teaching. Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, keep the precept. Then develop these four bases of success to be successful in life. This is what will change your life. Then cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness to understand who you are, what you are, your mind state, and all these related things. These are the things that can transform your life, that can change your life destiny, that can bring about what they call immediate transformation, if you have faith, if you really do it. Oh, 10:30, we should stop. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. So, we will stop the sharing. Yeah. So, as a reminder, remember to collect your book. This is the new book that we have just printed. The Kayaramita Fund donated for it. So, you should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The title of the book, I put it as Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. And we have a very nice cover page of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Bodhisattva, with a lot of love, compassion, and wisdom. So this is a very, very unique book. You read through it, develop the understanding, and use it to cultivate, to benefit yourself, and to determine strongly, so that you can plant that seed of bodhi. If you have already done it in the past, if you determine, you will connect back. And it will immediately transform you after that. You must have that faith, the sincerity, the resolve, the perseverance. Then the way will be there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits is the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakkantu loka sasada itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo kemina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
For coming all the way here to share the profound beyond.